FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450. Rutherford County's place to talk. Your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there
Welcome back. We are here talking about lawns and gardens this morning. And in reality, we're not really talking about lawns and gardens because people are probably not thinking about that. But we can touch on planting trees and shrubs. This is definitely a good time for that. We can talk about the Sunday Marketplace, which is back open. And if you haven't been there, you've missed something. All sorts of programs going on. Janie Becker has a lot of information to share this morning. She is from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And she probably has other information, too, because Janie has not been here for a while. Where have you been?
Raising a little baby. I've got a three-month-old at home.
That changed your life, I bet.
In every way, of course.
Well, tell us how it is. This a girl or a boy?
It's a little girl.
Okay.
Her name's Ruby, and she's just the light of our life right now. So.
Well, I bet she has your husband wrapped around her fingers.
Absolutely. He's playing Mr. Mom, actually. So they're getting really close.
I think that is great. Well, a lot going on at the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. How is the Sunday marketplace going?
It's going very well. We kicked off our first market day last Sunday. We're there through December 16th from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. We had a good variety of different products. We had all sorts of vegetables, of course, from fresh lettuce heads to turnip greens, onions, sweet potatoes, all the regular fall vegetables. We still had a little bit of warm season crops. We'll have to see with some of the frost we've had how long that will hold out. We also had honey. We had grass-fed beef. We had local pork products from Beatty Farms. We had some crafts. This time of year, we allow some of our vendors who also produce food or farm to bring in crafts that they make as well, because that supports their farm too. So we had wood crafts, we had some homemade children's clothing, we had just a little bit of everything. So
now, what time is this on Sundays?
It starts at 1 p.m.
Okay.
and runs until 4.
Now, on the regular marketplace, the farmer's market, you accept credit cards, EBT cards, those things. Do you
yes.
do that on this one too?
We do. We
okay.
do. So you can always pay with cash, but we also have the capability to accept credit, debit, and your EBT cards.
Okay. And so this is every Sunday now until
December 16th.
Okay. 893-1450 is our number. And let's jump in on the phones. We'll just open up the phone lines early. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today? I have a feeling they thought it was Swap and Shop.
Okay.
You never know. But
sure.
If you have a lawn or garden question, or if you have a comment about the Sunday Marketplace, maybe you've been to it, give us a call, 893-1450. I know last year you had music at the Marketplace.
Right. And we are this year, too. We've got a local fiddle player and I think a banjo player coming this Sunday. We had a fiddle and a guitar player coming last Sunday. We've got a variety of different musical groups coming. Well, I think one Sunday in December, we've got a couple of school choruses coming in, so kind of bring in the holiday season. It's a much more festive feel than our regular morning market. A lot of people aren't ready for music at 7 in the morning, so we hold off during the regular season, but we thought Sunday afternoon was a good time to jazz it up a bit.
And if you haven't been to the farmer's market, we have a phenomenal facility here.
Really?
You can open up the doors and let the outside in.
Right. I think this Sunday is supposed to be a beautiful, beautiful
yeah.
afternoon. So.
Great weekend. Mm-hmm. And if it's not beautiful, you can close the doors and turn on the heater.
Right, right. I call it open air, but undercover. We're out of the elements, but we can get the fresh air in.
So that's every Sunday through the 16th?
Correct.
Okay.
Of December.
Mm-hmm.
And Are you about to take a
call? Yeah, well, we do have a call.
Okay, go for it.
Anyway,
I'll keep talking.
You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today? They are really focused on getting through, and then they realized, swap and shop is over. It'll be back on tomorrow. Swap and shop's over for today.
If you want to sell some plants, maybe we can work that out.
That's right. Do you have that? People out there selling plants?
Right now, there might be a few potted plants. We've had someone who comes and sells amaryllis and gift plants like that.
Right.
I'm not sure we did this last Sunday, but mainly foods.
How about shrubs and bushes and trees and stuff like that?
During the regular season, we do. We haven't had any... whether or not this is the right time of the year, which it is the right time of year, a lot of times it's not on people's minds. Often spring is the best time to sell shrubs and plants of sorts. So may not be teamed up with the time to plant and the time to buy.
Right. Now, we have some real nurseries here in Rutherford County in this whole area, don't we?
We do. This is a nursery capital of the country in this area. Warren County is especially well known for all their landscaping businesses.
And Rutherford County has some also, don't
they? They do. They do. Okay. They have several big garden centers and a big perennial operation.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are new to the area don't realize that.
No, they don't.
Well, what else do you have?
Well, this Sunday we have, teamed up with the Farmers Market, we have a free diabetes awareness event hosted by the Rutherford County Wellness Council, and there'll be free blood pressure screenings and blood glucose screenings. There'll be seminars on how to manage and how to prevent diabetes. There'll be cooking demonstrations and all sorts of ways to help you live with diabetes and help stave it off in the future. I thought it was a good match to have at the Farmers Market, where we've got all kinds of healthy, fresh foods and help people know how to better cope with that disease.
Do you need to do anything to prepare?
They're not the same as fasting.
Right.
Okay. No, we don't expect you to fast on Sunday afternoon. But it's a good start if you don't know where you stand.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And diabetes is that silent killer, they say.
Right. It's so prevalent, and it sneaks up on people, and they have it for years before they get diagnosed often.
And will this be during the entire farmer's market today?
Right. It will start also at 1, from 1 to 4, at the community center where the farmer's market's held.
1 to 4 this Sunday.
Right.
And that's the Sunday marketplace during the holiday season.
And a lot of people don't really realize where we are. They drive by maybe on John R. Rice, and it's such a large facility. The community center is tucked back at the back of the complex. We've got some great signage now, so hopefully just look for the signs when you get to just past Paul's on John R. Rice. And look for the signs for the Farmers Market and Community Center, and it'll take you right back there.
And Paul's, I think, is probably even open during part of that time. You can stop and get a pet.
Are they open on?
It seems like I'd heard that. I heard Scott talking about Paul's this morning. They're running some kind of a special where $30 off of pets that have been there 30 days or longer.
Oh, wow. Well, go to the market and then swing by and pick up your new puppy.
It works better in that order.
Right.
Don't bring the puppy to the market.
That's the way to go, yeah.
What else do you have there?
Well, we've got, these are all events through the Rutherford County Extension. Another event coming up November 15th, we have a Family Consumer Science event, Season of Wonders. And it's a it's kind of a preparation for the holidays. There's holiday cooking demonstrations with a local food demonstrator, April McKinney. There'll be crafts. I mean, you can make your own crafts. They actually have a station where a section set up where you can make your own holiday crafts. Maybe it's a way to come up with some less expensive gift ideas. They have they'll have a bunch of homemade craft vendors, so you can see what's out there with our local home entrepreneurs. That should be a good event. And that's November 15th from 9:30 to 2.
Okay. And you need to sign up in advance for that, or do
now,
you?
No, that's also a free event. I think that there is a demonstration that might cost $5 or so once you get there, but the looking at the vendors and participating in the craft making and all that is a free event.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then through our Master Gardeners, our Rutherford County Master Gardeners, they're a very active group. They have their two big classes that start up in 2013. The applications are being accepted for Garden Basics, which is a five-week, it's sort of a Master Gardener class light. It's a five-week class that meets on Saturday mornings from 9 to 12. I believe it starts at the end of January. Forgive me, I don't have those dates exactly, but it's early in the year, and we are accepting applications for that right now.
Now, after you finish, do you take a test and become a master gardener, or what?
Not for the garden basics. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in gardening, but I don't know a whole lot. I'd like to get a little bit more information. Mm-hmm. The master gardener class is the one that you can then branch off and become certified as a master gardener and join the association and become an active volunteer. That one, we are accepting an application starting tomorrow from the public. So you can contact the extension office at 898-7710 to find out about either of those classes. The master gardener class is quite a bit more extensive. It's a 15-week course, and we have a class project where we're going to be installing a rain garden. So you'll find out about soils, you'll find out about planting, you'll get some actual dirt under your nails. And then we also have there's 14 classes on Tuesday evenings from 6 to 9, where you'll learn pretty well the whole, as much as we can cram in there, about gardening and plants and everything related.
Now, what is a rain garden?
A rain garden is it's a place where it's used especially, it's a type of garden to use where you have stormwater coming into an area, water that's standing for a little bit. You improve the soil so that the drainage will accommodate the extra water, and then you plant that area with plants that can handle both being dry and being planted in standing water. Mm-hmm. It helps slow runoff. It can provide a lot of wildlife attributes. It's kind of just nature's way of handling stormwater.
And so many areas have a problem with that. You can turn a negative into a positive.
Exactly. We're going to actually work on a little site that we have a lot of erosion, and it's hard to get grass to grow there. But if we plant a rain garden there, we might be able to slow the flow of the water, so there's not as many rills and so on in the soil. We're not losing soil mm-hmm. down the drain. And we'll also create a attractive landscape feature as well.
What do you use things like the cattails and certain grasses?
Well, those are going to be things that are obligate water plants, so they need mm-hmm. water all the time. The rain garden will have periods where it's flooded and periods where it's dry, just like your regular soil. So we'll use things like elderberry, we'll use some native grasses, we'll use a variety of different shrubs, sweet shrub, and there's lots of perennials that can tolerate that. They can be really, really pretty features with lots of blooming plants and all from very small plants to shrubs and trees.
Now, are those types of projects that you could get started now? I mean, because
on your own property, absolutely.
Okay.
This could be a good time to start working on that.
Okay, and what you'd say? I want some elderberry. Are those bushes? Is that
they're shrubs?
Shrubs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The only thing I think about is elderberry wine. There is a song about that.
Yeah, I've got a neighbor who makes some excellent elderberry jam. They're very tasty berries.
Okay. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. I don't know. I may have not called in at the right show, but I wanted to find out if I could get some information on the care of my elephant ears to preserve it for the winter, and my pumice grass, or pampas, some people say, and then I have King Tut water pond, beautiful plant, and I wanted to know how to preserve them for the winter.
Okay, well, hold on, and don't hang up, because Janie may have a question.
Okay.
You want to start with elephant ears?
So the elephant ears, they can overwinter.
Outside?
They can. Some of them can. Is this something you just planted this year?
Yes, I did. but it grew to be a monstrous, the mammoth. Oh, and I wouldn't take love nor money for it.
If we have a light winter, there's a chance that they can overwinter in the ground. But a better bet would be to dig them up. Mm-hmm. I guess frost has killed them back now, haven't they?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You can dig them up and kind of brush the soil off of them, mm-hmm. but don't clean them and get them wet. And
right.
You can store those like you would if you ever held caladiums over winter.
No.
Okay.
I've never helped anything over winter.
Okay.
I was always at the heck with it. I'll get it again next year.
Sure. Well, the trick will be to keep it from getting from rotting. So you want to put it in a dry, cool place.
Like a brown paper sack.
A brown paper sack might work. Some people even take a little bit of peat moss with just a slight amount of water. You don't want to be able to wring the slightest bit of water out of it anymore.
Right.
You want it to this proper amount of humidity. That's just keeping it from drying out and keeping it from rotting, if that makes sense.
Right.
And put it
right.
in a paper bag and keep it somewhere cool.
Okay.
Maybe in a garage.
Yeah.
And give that a shot.
Okay.
Now the other items, what
Let's
was
see.
It?
You had
The other was the pumice, pompous, whatever you mm-hmm. want to call it. I didn't know whether I should cut that back, cut it down, dig mm-hmm. it up.
Mm-hmm.
This is about the third year for that.
That's beautiful grass.
Not as pretty as everybody else's.
Yeah.
Well, the pompous grass, you can, it just depends on what you want it to look like over the winter. Some people like the way it looks even when it's dry and when it's dead above ground. It gives a little bit of winter interest in your garden. If it becomes unsightly to you, of course, you can cut it to the ground. Everything
right.
that's dead. It might be a little bit better for the plant if you let all that remain until maybe February or March and then cut it back. It provides a little bit of a cold protection.
That's
if
true.
You get a hard
that makes all the sense in the world. Yeah.
Right. It's just kind of like an insulation for the plant underground.
Right, right.
And if you get a little snow, it'll be pretty. When the snow comes, it'll
have
somewhere to
is.
Fall.
At night, it looks like a monster. In the snow, it looks like a big monster of some type. But at any rate, like I said, I love those. And I was going to try to press my luck this year and have a green thumb and keep those through the winter. And because I've just fallen so much in love with them. And so I just thought I would call and see if I could try my luck.
Oh, sure. And that papyrus grass, I don't have a lot of experience with it. I'm trying to, I don't think that it will overwinter here. You could try to pot it up and actually bring it inside. You'll need to give it a good bit of sun and just treat it like a houseplant, but you'll need to give it a good bit of sun. I don't have experience with that, but you will need to pot it up and bring it in.
Pot it up and bring it in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you ever so much.
You're welcome. Good luck to you.
Talk to you
thank
later.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And keep in mind Duane Trail's folklore winter forecast. Winter is going to be winter this year. It's not going to mm-hmm. be mild.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be cold, maybe some snow.
Does he base it off of the woolly bears? Is
yeah,
that,
uh-huh. he did uh-huh. that and all of the other things. But basically, the woolly bears, because
mm-hmm.
they
mm-hmm.
were pretty black this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been, I have to say, mm-hmm. Duane's forecast has been surprisingly accurate.
Good to know.
Over the years. He's been telling it's going to be mild on the previous ones, and he says, nope, not this year. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Broadcasting from the tallest tower in the city with that little red light on top. FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450.
Right now at Ford of Murfreesboro, you can get a 2012 Ford Explorer with low, low financing rates. For well-qualified buyers, you can drive away in a new Explorer for 0.9% financing for 36 months. The new Ford Explorer is one of the top SUVs in its class. It's sleek, roomy, and efficient. Test drive your new Ford Explorer at Ford of Murfreesboro today at the corner of Broad and Northfield Boulevard, online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords, and we'll give you the best deal in town.
For over 130 years, dreams have come true at Bell Jewelers. Come by and let Lisa, Greg, or anyone at Bell Jewelers show you the Bellatoire Fun Fashion Color Line. You get a free Bellatoire necklace with a purchase of $300 or more now through the end of the year. That's at Bell Jewelers. They really do make dreams come true. 821 Northwest Broad, across from Toots. Bell Jewelers.
Play it again, sports!
Your fitness headquarters.
We've got our hands on name brands like Schwinn, Horizon, Bowflex, and more. Create your own discount. Bring in your old sporting goods and walk out with new equipment.
Play it again, sports!
On Thompson Lane.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning once again. We still have lots of fog in the area causing problems for us, so anticipate some slowdown because of that and visibility problems. Also, we have I-24 coming into downtown. A couple of incidents that are slowing us down. Watch out for the flashing yellow lights and the blue lights and the red lights. Also, we've got traffic easing. Old Fort Parkway at Chapin Place, Old Fort Parkway at Kaysen Lane. Get a $39 introductory massage at Massage Envy today. Gift cards available for any occasion. Massage Envy, Cool Springs, Bellevue, Brentwood, and Green Hills. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. Let's take a look at that Murfreesboro weather. Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
For the forecast area, we'll have plenty of sunshine, highs in the upper 50s. Northwest winds around 5. Clear skies for tonight, low of 35 degrees. I'm WGNS meteorologist Andy Thaluber.
Right now, 39.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
Consumer questions, money concerns, and more. This is Clark Howard, and I'll take your calls on Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Weekdays noon to 2 on WGNS.
Welcome back. We're talking lawns and gardens and fun things to do with your extra time. Janie Becker is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service, again underlining the Sunday Marketplace is going on Sundays from 1 to 4 over at the Lane Agri Park, same place where the Farmers Market used to be. It's closed for the season. But this will be going on through December the 16th. Is that right?
We still consider it the farmer's market, just okay. A little bit different going on.
Okay. A lot of the same items, but a lot of different items.
Right,
too.
Right. Just a different season, different products.
And music to boot.
That's right.
Okay. Sounds like fun. 1 to 4 Sunday afternoon. Some great Christmas gifts, I would imagine.
There are. We've got a guy from Rockvale who makes some excellent wooden toys and even things for adults. He's got front-end loaders and all sorts of trucks and airplanes, and he does a really good job, and they're a really good deal, too.
You know, you look for things that will last and be really something you can say, hey, I remember playing with that.
Right.
Those types of things.
Not plastic, perfect. Not made in China. These are the real deal, and they'll hold up.
Made in Rockvale. All right. That's about as local.
Local cedar and local woods of all sorts.
Now, do people still have any local honey for sale?
There is. There's a fair bit of honey. I think we had 3 different honey vendors at last Sunday's market.
Okay, so if
this year was a rough year for honey producers, but there's some that have held out so that they could be around for this time of year.
Why was it a rough year? I know they'd had some problems with bees in years past.
Well, the drought really affects bees as well. When plants are stressed, they're not blooming, and the bees, of course, need flowers to get the pollen from to go back and feed the colony and make honey. So they really slacked off this year in June and July when it got so dry, and some had a hard time rebounding.
Any other problems that came about due to the weather? Because I never would have thought about that.
With honey?
With any of the things that impact us that would go through the farmer's market.
Oh, absolutely. It was a really tough year to be a farmer this year, from your commercial growers to some of the smaller market growers. We lost a lot of our more casual farmers because it was just so difficult to keep the garden watered. If you had a well, it might have run dry. If you had city water, then you maybe couldn't afford to keep the water going. And it was too dry to plant second and third plantings like a lot of people do in June and July. So we didn't get a lot of the later crops. Mm-hmm. It was hard on all ends. But then we had a warm spring, so we had a bounty earlier than we normally do. So it was one for the records.
Now, would that impact beef farmers? I mean, I would think the water supply.
Oh, absolutely, because the forage wasn't there when they needed it to be. So mm-hmm. There were a lot of cattle sales this summer. People who just couldn't keep their herds well fed enough, and they needed to sell them off.
So this year, I know last year when we were at the Sunday marketplace, we bought some grain fed beef, I believe it was grass fed, and it was delicious. Mm-hmm. Is that as plentiful this year? Or
well, we do have one grass fed beef producer there, and I think they do some pretty good business. But mm-hmm. I know it was tough for them, like all farmers.
Well, hopefully this year that we're moving into will be much better for them.
Yes.
Certainly with Duane Trail's forecast of a real winter, mm-hmm. I mean, snow melts and mm-hmm. gives you water.
Right.
So hopefully we'll still get rain after the water.
Absolutely.
And won't have a drought. So those things are cyclical, I guess.
And they are. And then, of course, you know, we had just a terrible drought in the early part of the summer, but then in July, it came and kept coming, and we had it evened out the latter part of the summer. But it still you can't fix those months when it was dry already. So
absolutely, what is this area's top crop?
This area's top crop. I may not be the person to ask for that, but I would say it's soybeans and cotton and corn. I apologize. I may not be the right person to ask for that.
I think you're on target, because I know I went to a class several years ago, and they said that soybeans was the mm-hmm. top one. So mm-hmm. I was just curious if it had changed any.
I don't think so. Cotton is grown more farther south than here, but we do have some big growers in Rutherford County, Corn really suffered this year. Mm-hmm. If you look at some of the charts for supplies around the nation, the corn really, really suffered. It's such a long, hot crop. It takes so long to come in that a lot of the drought hit when you're expecting a lot of growth on the plants, and it never recovers.
Maybe there's a farmer listening in who could answer this question. I know we look at some of the old photographs, say that Shacklett's photography has, and they show the cotton gins, and there over here where Cannonsburg is, there was a place that took in the cotton from the farmers, mm-hmm. and I guess it would have been in the 30s and 40s probably that this was a giant business in Rutherford County, mm-hmm. and it's almost non-existent now. I mean,
land's so valuable.
Is that what it is?
It gets sold for commercial, where the avenues is, you know, just 10 years ago, that was all fields. So it's part of a developing county where we build on that land.
Right across from the avenue is still a farm.
Right.
I mean, which is sort of neat to mm-hmm. be in an area like that, that you just look right across the road, and mm-hmm. there's a huge working farm. Or go mm-hmm. out to the area around Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. If you just drive behind it during corn season, you suddenly feel like you're in that Field of Dreams movies, because
right.
it's corn everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's in my opinion, it's something to be protected. It's a lot. It's our roots here mm-hmm. in this area, and if we lose agriculture as a neighbor, then we start to forget that that's where we all come from. So but it's getting to be a little bit more endangered these days.
Yeah. Well, if some of you have memories of the days when cotton was king, so to speak, we had a lot of cotton farmers and cotton mills and everything were around here, give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. Or even if you don't remember but have some stories that have been passed down, because this, you know, you look back far enough, and we may not have too many people who remember those days. But even during those days of cotton mills and what have you, there were these giant cotton textile factories. People, I guess, would take the cotton and turn it into jeans and shirts and what have you. And those were usually on rivers, from what I see, that had the big the water wheels and everything that turned the equipment. So, and there was plenty of water around here. Just look out there at Walter Hill. We had, I think, five or six mills with it, and they did different things. Walter Hill even generated electricity for Murfreesboro at one point.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So if some of you have some information about those earlier days, give us a call, 893-1450. And if you're a cotton farmer, call us, 893-1450. And you do see a little cotton here and there.
There's the area over where Rutherford and Broad cross. That's got a big cotton farm there.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
Good morning.
Well, good morning.
I wanted to share a little bit about the cotton that grew on Daddy's farm whenever I was growing up. I'm 78, so that's been a long time ago. But Daddy drove a school bus, and whenever it was time to pick cotton, the school was turned out. But we needed more help than that, so he would go to town in his school bus, and he would bring back a load of people. I don't know where he went to get them, but, you know, somewhere he knew where to go, and people just standing around, and they'd come back to pick cotton. And the cotton was different then, Bart. If I went out to help, you know, maybe I was 10 or 12 years old, the cotton would be almost as tall as I was.
Wow.
And if you got tired of picking, you could just sit down on your bag and hide, you know, and nobody could even see you because the cotton was so tall. But I guess whenever that all the new equipment came out that we have this day and time, they must have done some genetics on cotton to get it down there close to the ground. But those crops were really beautiful that grew up tall. And on the 4th of July, in order to get to go to the picnic at Rock Vale, my brother and me, he would send us out to the field. We had to chop about two rows of cotton to before that we could take off and have the day to go to the picnic. But that's some of what I remember about the cotton. Those people that came to pick for him, he would have a tally sheet and had those big old iron scales that you put weights on.
Okay.
And weigh their cotton each time they bring a bag up, and then pay them at the end of the day, and then take them on back to Murfreesboro.
You remember how your fingers felt, didn't you, at the end of the day?
It was awful.
Uh-huh.
But the cotton was really beautiful then when it grew real tall.
Now, was it as soft as people think of when you think about cotton?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, if you didn't hit those little outside prongs on the four sections of the cotton bowl that opens up, if you just got your fingers in there and pull the cotton, it was just as soft could be.
Wow, that is so neat. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Okay, goodbye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. I know one, I guess it must have been during cotton season, and I didn't realize it. We were going, I was taking the kids back when our kids were kids. They're not kids anymore. But when they were kids, we wanted to take them down to Huntsville to the Space Center. And we went, didn't go the interstate route, went the back roads and went through, Green something, Alabama. Right there on the county line.
Yes.
Right across from Fayetteville.
Green Hill.
It must have been a big cotton area. But it and this was warm weather. It looked like it had snowed there because cotton was everywhere. Mm-hmm. They were putting it in trailers and what have you, but it had blown around, too. And it was just everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I look at these pictures. Gloria Christie at Shacklett's Photography has some old pictures of cotton on the square, and they had some kind of a contest. I'm not sure exactly. Gloria's going to be on tomorrow. Maybe somebody can ask her about that. But they would have mule pulling cotton contests. wagons full of the stuff, and they'd pull them up, I think, the hill over there on West Main Street. And they must have been heavy, because that was a big deal at the time. 893-1450, maybe you have some stories along with that, or maybe you can embellish that, or give us the facts, because we probably have it all messed up there. 893-1450. But, you know, it was a big business, and still is in some places.
There's the hosiery capital of the world, I think they call it. Where is that? It's is it Fort Payne, Alabama, which is right around right around in that area. There's Hazel Green.
It was in my head
trying to think of it. But yeah, there's a lot of cotton down in Alabama and Mississippi. But I think it's the hosiery capital of the world was Fort Payne, Alabama, where they had all kinds of sock and hosiery mills. Like you were talking.
That would, I guess, go along with the industry, because we had, on a small scale, hosiery mills here in Murfreesboro. I think some of the buildings are, some of the last buildings of those days are still around. You're on WGNS. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Great. Hey, I was trying to get some information about having an entry in the Christmas parade.
Okay, let me tell you how to do that.
Okay.
All you have to do is go to the radio station's website, and all of the entry forms and regulations are there, and that's WGNSradio.com, and the deadline to enter the Christmas parade is November the 30th.
Okay, and when is the parade?
The parade is the second Sunday in December at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and let me look at a calendar. It seems like the 9th, but I wouldn't.
That's right.
Is it the 9th? Mm-hmm. Okay. The second Sunday is the 9th, and it starts at MTSU in front of the president's home there on the corner of Tennessee and Maine, or Middle Tennessee and Maine.
Okay. Hard to get used to.
Okay. But you do need to get the application in.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Then I'll just find out that information on the radio. I mean, on the WGNSradio.com.
Right. It's all right there. There's, once you go to that page, there'll be a bright Christmas banner up on the top section, and all you do is tap that, and it'll open it up for you.
Okay. All right. Great. And is there an entry fee? Or?
I think it's $10, the same fee that it's been forever.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
you. Well, I will check on that. If I have any questions, do you mind if I call you back?
No, that'll be fine.
Okay, thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye. And that hopefully will help some other folks who are listening, who are wondering about, how do I do that? It's easy, and now is the time to do that. And I was talking with some folks, and I hope the folks at the Agricultural Center have a float in it. This is one of those fun events that last year we had so many phenomenal entries in the parade. It just really made for a great family feeling and a great hometown feeling.
Really, really adds to the community, doesn't it?
It really does. 893-1450 is our phone number. We're talking lawns and gardens and a little bit of other stuff here and there, just
you know, Bart. I mentioned those Master Gardener classes. I wanted to give out the web address for the Rutherford County Master Gardener Association. It's mastergardeners-rc.org, and there it's a wonderful website. They've recently revamped it in the last year. It's got all sorts of gardening information about our classes, our projects. It's a nice website that will give you a lot of information.
And a good group to get involved in, too.
Absolutely.
We'll be back and take some more calls. If you have any comments about gardens or about the Sunday Marketplace or any of these things or cotton memories, give us a call. 893-1450. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450. Worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
Does your home have foundation problems? Bricks cracking, doors sticking, basement walls bowing, floors uneven, or water problems? Where do you turn? What name do you know and trust? Call United Structural Systems at 227-2275. For over 17 years, United Structural Systems has stabilized, restored, and guaranteed over 5,800 homes and businesses in Middle Tennessee. We know that you, like our customers, want a restored home, a lifetime guarantee, and the peace of mind that United Structural Systems, a locally owned company, will be here for you. Call United Structural Systems today at 227-2275 or visit them on the web at usstn.com. United Structural Systems, known best for being better.
We'll guarantee our best. Call USS.
Weather Eye.
For the forecast area, we'll have plenty of sunshine, highs in the upper 50s. Northwest winds around 5. Fair skies for tonight, low of 35 degrees. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, 39.
Thank you, Mandy. While you are out today, why don't you head over to Bell Furniture? My buddy Perry Bell over there, he will take care of you. Perry will save you money. What a nice guy, too. Just a super person over there. And I was talking to Perry the other day, and he said, you know, we proudly sell American-made products. I wish more people felt that way. Perry does, and he will save you money. Over the years, Perry has developed a way to really save you money. And let me explain this, because people say, how can he really sell you furniture that's half the price and the same quality that you get at other stores? First quality, name brand furniture, the same furniture, half price every day at Bell Furniture. Whether it's a sofa, a recliner, a love seat, a lift chair, whatever you're looking for, maybe a Jameson mattress, even that phenomenal Marriott mattress that Jameson makes. Half price, seriously. And if you don't believe us, before you pay twice, head over to Bell Furniture and see. I mean, people will say, by golly, you're right, it's half price. And how does he do it? Well, first of all, he keeps the overhead down. He keeps everything simple. He has a room, that one room just full of sofas and things like that, another room with dining room furniture and bedroom furniture, what have you. And so it's not like walking into a decorator magazine, which costs a lot of money, and that goes to the price of the furniture. He keeps the overhead down with the, it's just Perry over there. It saves money, and you get the savings. Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. Bell Furniture.
The Truman Show on WGNS.
Rutherford County, we're going to have a great show today.
Truman Jones is on weekday mornings at 9 on WGNS.
Hey, welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. Janie Becker is with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie. How are you today?
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
I was wondering if this is the time to cut back crepe myrtles, and also, I mean to top them. And also, I was wondering about cutting back the rose bushes, if I can, how low I can cut them.
Okay, what about the crepe myrtles?
Okay, well, let's start with crepe myrtles. It's not advised to top your crepe myrtles. You end up with that kind of knobby-looking appearance. Some people don't like that much at all. You'd be better to let it, you're not going to get a lot more blooms from it by topping it this time of year. You'd be better off either letting it come on and grow or cut it down all the way to the base. Crepe myrtles are so vigorous that if you cut them down at ground level, you'll get a huge growth in the next year. And you'll lose that. You won't have to deal with that kind of knobby appearance that you see in a lot of landscapes over the winter when you don't have any leaves or blooms to cover that up. Now it's fine to do that once the leaves are off, once they've frosted back, which I think most in this area probably have. You can go ahead and do some pruning on that. The best time to prune is probably in the February to early March period before they've gotten out of dormancy, but they haven't gone through the rough winter. And then your second question was about roses. I'm not a rose expert, but and some of those probably still do. You still have some leaves on them?
Yes, they do.
Good bit.
And they
I imagine.
Are very tall and lanky.
Uh huh. There's lots, probably maybe some rose experts out there they're going to roll their eyes, but I think you can take them back to 8 inches or so. You might start pruning a little bit. It's always easier to prune small to start with and then get more as you need to take more, but I think you can take them back. I see them back to 6 or 8 inches.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're
good
welcome.
Luck. Thanks.
And with pruning for just about any plant, it's better to do it after you've gone through the rough winter. When you take back a plant, you not only remove material, but you're actually creating a small wound every time you make a cut. So when you make that cut, it's got to heal over. It introduces a new spot for winter damage, for disease entry. If you can wait as long as you can before they come out of dormancy in the spring, so somewhere in the very late winter period, you're going to have a better survival rate. And that goes for perennials, trees, shrubs, all of that.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And before we leave today, let's sort of go over a few of the things that you've shared with us so we won't forget any of these things.
Sure.
Of course, the Sunday Marketplace.
It's 1 to 4 at the Lane Agri Park Community Center. 1 to 4, we're open every Sunday until December 16th, and we'll have all sorts of produce and music and some homemade crafts. We have the Master Gardener Program. Garden Basics and Master Gardener class will both be open. I think the class opens their applications tomorrow, but you can go ahead and give us a call at 898-7710 if you're interested in either of those classes. This Sunday at the market, sorry to jump back, but this Sunday at the market we have our diabetes awareness event, a free event, give you all kinds of information. We have the Season of Wonders coming up on November 15th at 9:30, from 9:30 to 2 for holiday cooking ideas, craft ideas, local vendors. And I believe that's all we've got right now. But,
okay. And the name of your little girl?
Ruby Francis.
Ruby Francis.
That's right.
What a great name. And welcome to Murfreesboro, Ruby Francis. Janie, it's good to have you back again.
Yes, I'm glad to be back. Thanks, Bart.
Janie Becker visiting with us this morning. She'll be back on a regular basis here and filling us in on what's happening around the community. Hey, you have a super rest of the day tomorrow. We're going to have here history of Murfreesboro. We're going to have some fun tomorrow. Gloria is going to be with us, Gloria Christie, and talking about downtown history. Boy, right here. Next, Truman Jones.